protecting our vote and our voice. I believe in the ACLU because they're for real. To learn more about how the ACLU is fighting for your rights and mine, go to myaclu.org today.
That's right, today. It's 6 o'clock on a Tuesday evening. You're listening to WUSB in Stony Brook, either on 90.1 FM or 107.3 FM, or perhaps you're listening to us over the internet at WUSB.FM. You could also be listening to us in the future on an archive. Who knows? It's, as mentioned, 6 o'clock on a Tuesday, which means it's time for another edition of Off the Wall. And a very good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein over here. Kyle is on his way into the studio. It's been one of those days. And we have a lot to talk about. A lot of things happening this week. A lot of things planned for this week. The World Cup is coming. The World Cup is coming in only 2 days. That's starting in Mexico City. So that's going to be fun. We have that to look forward to. And, of course, tomorrow night is game 4 of the, who is it again? The Nets? No?
Knicks.
The Knicks? I'm sorry. I'm all thrown off here. When everything's not set in place, I get all thrown off.
Knicks?
Knickerbockers. Yes, that's it. The New York Knicks. I actually do know this. And I know that last night was a bit of a disappointment. But you know what's funny about this is that Trump showed up and all of the fans, well, of course, you know, everybody saw that he was roundly booed. But they're blaming the loss on him. They're saying that, this guy cursed us because we won all these games in a row, 46 days without a loss. This guy shows up and all of a sudden we take one in the defeat column. So, take that for what it's worth. But, there are actually people on the right who are saying that he was cheered yesterday. He was cheered last night. What we heard was not what we heard. In fact, Trump even said this himself. He said, I think it was mostly cheers. It was loud. It was very enthusiastic. But that doesn't match the footage of the event. Doesn't match the White House pool report. They noted that the president was thunderously booed when he was shown on the big screen inside Madison Square Garden in New York. Those boos were caught from multiple angles inside the arena. They were picked up by the TV coverage and also watch parties. And people booed at the watch parties. Fans outside the arena could be heard cursing at Trump as he arrived at the end of a clip the president himself posted on social media. And as I mentioned, he was even blamed by some fans for jinxing the Knicks and breaking the team's 13-game playoff winning streak. Given all that, Trump's critics on social media were not buying his claim that it was mostly cheers. I don't know, Kyle. This is controversial. What do you think it was?
Just people responding naturally.
Uh-huh. But it sounded like boos, right? Not cheers to us.
Well, it was really loud, and I don't know. I think it's just everything all mixed together. So, yeah, I guess boos were in there. I can't say it was, like, all one or the other.
Well, there might have been a few.
I mean, I wouldn't say it was, like, an approval if people were a negative. But, I mean, it was just the natural response, I guess.
What did people expect, really? I mean, you know, he is roundly hated in New York City. What Knicks fans had to go through to even get into the Garden, those Knicks fans who could afford to go inside the Garden, they had to go through all kinds of security checks. They couldn't bring all the things that they would normally bring with them. So it was a great inconvenience. This guy is not seen as an authentic New Yorker. So nobody should be surprised, but it's just it's crazy that people actually attempt to portray it as something that it clearly is not. And that's Orwellian. That is how you basically tell people, you know, that the sky is not blue when everybody can see that it is. But people just don't talk about it because you don't want to displease the leader. And it's just amazing to me how many people just buy into that quickly and accept it. I guess we all have that in us. Iran was bombing Israel the other day, made all the headlines. It's crazy to me because Israel's been bombing Lebanon nonstop and saying that there's a ceasefire. I don't understand that either. There's a ceasefire, and yet Israel is killing people every day. And that doesn't make the headlines anymore. It just happens every day. So Iran bombs Israel. And massive headlines, big news development. Honestly, what did you expect to happen when this kind of thing keeps going? And it also shows how pathetic the position of the United States has become in that region. Iran is completely controlling everything now when they weren't before. You know, they've closed the Strait of Hormuz, and Trump just keeps saying, yeah, we're about to sign a peace deal. It's very promising, and nobody's buying it. Nobody believes it. But the one thing he did say the other day to Netanyahu was, don't respond. That's very un-Trump-like. Don't respond to your country being bombed by Iran. Of course, they did respond. They don't respect him at all. But here's the thing. Yesterday, Iran shot down an Apache helicopter, one of ours, that was patrolling over the Strait of Hormuz. And what do you think Trump said? Well, we have to respond. We have to respond to that. So I don't get where his mind is at. You know, when Israel is bombed, no, you can't respond. But when our helicopter gets shot down and the people in it were rescued, you have to respond. So it's kind of hard to take him seriously if that's how he's going to react inconsistently. He did not say what form the U.S. response would take. He's reportedly said privately that he will not throw out the ceasefire with Iran. Again, ceasefire. There's no ceasefire if you're shooting at each other. That's not a ceasefire. I don't know what it is, but it's definitely not that. And maybe we should stop calling it that. Again, it's using language in ways that it was never meant to be used. So today's post, and that's what we're basing this on, is a post. It signaled that conflict with Iran was about to ramp up once again, despite Trump claiming hours earlier that a deal with Tehran could be reached as soon as this week. Well, you know, maybe it's a deal to continue with war. That's a deal, right? I don't know. It's just gets weirder and a bit sadder every day. And then you have this bizarre situation out in California. You guys been following this? It's basically the way they do elections. They have a primary and they take the top two finishers and then they pit them against each other in the general election in November. And they can be two Republicans, they can be two Democrats. So basically the current mayor, Karen Karen Bass, she finished first, and Spencer Pratt, this reality TV star that is the love of the right wing for some reason, I guess because he's unqualified, he supposedly finished second. But here's the thing. It takes a long time to count the votes there. You know, there's mail-in votes, there's walk-in votes. There are all kinds of reasons why it takes days and days and days. Now, Pratt had maintained a 9-point lead over his closest challenger. That is L.A. Council member Nithya Raman. His supporters believed he would proceed to the November runoff against incumbent Mayor Karen Bass. Well, mail-in ballots trickled in throughout the week, and his lead over Raman steadily narrowed, and by Sunday night, she had overtaken him by less than 1 point, with more than 80% of votes counted. That's according to the Associated Press. Now, they have not yet projected a winner, but she is now well ahead of him. And guess what? She's a Democratic socialist. Well, the right wing has just gone ballistic over this. If you've been tuning into any of the talk shows, they are just making these rampant accusations of voter fraud, and this proves it. It's exactly the way the system is supposed to work. And people were saying this in all the commentaries. In fact, even the candidate, the second place candidate, hang on, what happened? If we unplug ourselves? What happened, Kyle?
And the wrong cable plugged in.
Oh, my God. Really? We had the wrong cable plugged in? That can be fatal. Were we broadcasting at all?
Oh, that was the recording.
Oh, okay.
But that's fine. We have another copy, so
we continue. Think we have another copy. Well, yeah. Okay. Maybe I'll...
Sorry, I'm not. I'm kind of out of it today, so I'm here and I'm paying attention.
It's
and that's
90
why
degrees in here.
That's why I caught that, because I am here and I'm focused and... What you're saying is fascinating. It's certainly not what I'm focused on in my personal life. But go on.
Well, I'm drinking coffee now, so.
Well, I'm you know maintaining the equipment and the heat and keeping the circuit breakers from tripping.
Well, that's what's happening in this country. Circuit breakers tripping everywhere. I don't know. I've just been trying to follow this, It's crazy to see how, I mean, I'm not surprised. Since the 2000 election, where all kinds of accusation of voter fraud were made without any evidence, they don't need the evidence. They do not need that. They can just go with the emotions.
That's the so-called Dimpled Chad incident in Florida.
You're going back to 2000.
Oh, okay.
Did I say 2000?
I thought you said...
Oh, my God.
Did you mean 2020?
I meant 2020. I said 2000.
Okay. Oh. I thought you might have said 2000. Well, we have a recording now, now so we can go back and listen.
Recording.
Sorry,
damn
I'm,
it.
Go on.
No, no. Obviously, I'm getting heat stroke too.
But radio.
We have some hot coffee here. That's good.
Radio's perfect in its imperfection. And this goes back to what I mentioned in our first hour. And that was that.
Wait a minute, first hour. We've only been on the air 15
minutes.
Yeah, this
is the 20 hour marathon.
No, the listeners might think we've been on forever, but no.
This is Off the Radio, where you pledge to WSB to get us off the radio. It's a special 20 hour marathon.
That's not
we do.
Funny. People do pledge to do that.
And
it hurts our feelings.
We were the existential crisis, really. And to my larger point, is that you're not finished with the story.
Well, I mean, is there really much more to it? You know how it's going to go. Okay, far right activist and crazy person Laura Loomer. Which is a perfect name for her, isn't it? Laura. Hey, here comes Laura Loomer. Get out of the way.
Looming in the shadows. Yes, looming in the sun. So you're talking about them dredging up the 2020 results,
she
which is
told
you know,
her one
a falsehood.
She told her 1.9 million. Why does she get 1.9 million followers? I have like 45. What's
half of them are probably bots.
Even so, why don't the bots follow me? I mean, come on. I'm followable. No, I don't want to be followed. Believe me. So she told her 1.9 million whatevers on Twitter that the election is being stolen from Pratt in real time. What does that mean in real time? Like it's happening right now, I guess. You can watch it happen. Somehow you can watch it happen. Benny Johnson, I don't know who that is, and Elon Musk, unfortunately I do know who that is, have also reposted several right-wing accounts suggesting Rahman's rise must be the result of fraud. Meghan McCain, who is a conservative commentator but also a frequent Trump critic, also injected doubt into the election results. Okay, this is how the system works. You count the votes and the numbers change. Now, how long does it take to count the votes? That's, you know, if someone says we've finished counting the votes and then the numbers change after they finished, well, that's fraud. There's something wrong there. But they didn't say that. They were still counting the votes. And they even were able to define what kind of votes they were. They were the people who voted with by mailing in ballots. And those were widely thought to be a bit more liberal than other votes, people who show up on Election Day. People who show up on Election Day tend to be more conservative. I don't know why that is, but it's something that is well known. So you're going to see a lot more of this. And in fact, this could also be a prelude to what's going to be happening in November, when there are many, many results I predict that the Republicans will not like. And also, there are many results that will not be immediately apparent, that will happen days, maybe even weeks after the polls have closed. That's just the method of our system. That's how it works. Now, the other thing that you're going to see is a call for voter ID. What are you hiding? Why don't you want to show your ID when you go to the polls? You must be up to something. I was watching this funny debate on CNN last night where basically somebody was saying, what are you hiding? And, you know, the answer is just so incredibly obvious that the federal government does not have the right to access individual data to get the data on voters in states. Those are states' issues. It's run by states. That's how it's set up. So what these people are trying to do is they're trying to create a federal database. They're trying to have this standard that goes beyond just showing ID. For one thing, your driver's license, probably not good enough because you have to get an enhanced license. You have to get something that ties in to a federal database. And once they have that, they can monitor all kinds of things and keep track of, you know, your comings and goings as far as when you vote and where you vote and things like that. Things that the federal government has no business getting access to. That is why people are resistant against that. And also, there is no evidence of any kind of fraud, anything significant that would warrant something like this in the first place. So when you see people say that, they try to make the simplistic argument that you must have something to hide if you don't want to show your ID to have access to the polls. First of all, You would have to expend more effort to get this particular ID, because what you probably have now is not sufficient. You'd need to find your birth certificate. If you're married, you're going to have to go through a whole thing with your name changing. All sorts of hassles, and the system we have right now works. And if you don't believe the system works, investigate it. Look into it. See how it works. See what happens when somebody votes that is not supposed to vote. The system catches them. We talked about this weeks ago. Every state is somewhat different. Some states do require voter ID. They are no more secure than the states that don't. So don't let yourself be taken in by people with an agenda. And speaking of agendas, this guy, Tom Homan, one of my favorite people, he plans to flood New York City with ICE agents because Kathy Hochul signed legislation that will stymie ICE's efforts. Yeah, so this is just, you know, tit for tat. Hochul told Newsday the move would be wildly disruptive to the nation's economic capital, and that Americans have had enough with the overreach of ICE. On Long Island, immigration advocates said they feared a stepped-up U.S. immigrations and customs enforcement campaign in the city that could spill over into Nassau and Suffolk counties. They expect any surge to be met with resistance. And that's what we need, is resistance, because this is a bullying tactic, without any doubt. he basically said, he said this on Fox and Friends, where you can say whatever you want if you're on the right. I made her a promise. You're going to see more ICE agents than you've ever seen in New York City, and it's coming. Well, Tom, you're going to see more resistance than you've ever seen, and that's not going away. So prepare for that. It's going to be... a wild summer. He said, I just reviewed an operational plan. I'm not going to tell you exactly when it's going to happen, but it's coming. I'm keeping my promise. We're going to send more ICE agents to New York because you took away the efficiencies of safe arrest in county jails. Whatever, Tom. Whatever. Salt Lake City. Not exactly the place you would expect a lot of pushback against ICE. They have filed a lawsuit, and the county surrounding Salt Lake City, seeking to block the Department of Homeland Security's plan to open a gigantic warehouse in the city that would be used to imprison 10,000 immigrants. Imagine that. People in Utah don't want that, because most people realize that is barbaric, that is insane, that is unjustified. The lawsuit is the latest brought by local officials around the country who were not consulted before DHS purchased industrial warehouses that it planned to convert into regional immigrant processing and detention centers. What a time. What a time we live in. Because you either are protesting against these concentration camp-like buildings that are being... purchased and constructed all over the country, or you're protesting against data centers that are housing AI and swallowing all the energy and causing all kinds of misery. Okay. let's go local then. Brookhaven, that's the town we're in right now. Brookhaven IDA board member it'd be nice if somebody told me what IDA, Industrial Development Agency. Okay. That's a town agency. A Brookhaven IDA board member is facing backlash from town officials and Long Island builders after he said at a board meeting he opposed tax incentives to spur affordable housing development because they attract residents who are lazy and don't appreciate the way of life that we have here on Long Island. That was said by Setauket developer John Rose on May 27th at a meeting of the aforementioned Industrial Development Agency during a roundtable policy discussion. The IDA board is weighing whether it should incentivize market-rate housing through economic benefits such as sales tax exemptions and payments in lieu of property taxes. After saying he was not a fan of those subsidies, which many officials credit with expanding Long Island's supply of affordable housing, Rose said subsidized housing hurts the suburban way of life, and I'm just not in favor of it anymore at this point. I think developing those type of projects imports people, listen carefully to this, imports people from out of town that I don't think appreciate the way of life that we have here on Long Island. And you can make it here if you, And you can make it here if you want to try. Okay. If you're going to be lazy, then you're going to have to go someplace else. Not everybody deserves to be here. If you don't want to accept our way of life, I'm just kind of fed up. What the hell is this guy talking about? Don't want to accept our way. You know, you don't accept the way of life around here. Just assuming people that come from other places are lazy and don't want to do anything, don't deserve affordable housing. It's, I thought we were past this, but obviously we're not. Obviously we are not. So, yeah, this guy, bad news. Rook Haven supervisor Dan Panico in an interview called the comments baseless, added they were unsupported by the town board. And that guy's a Republican, too, but he says good things that are true. And in this particular case, boy, that's an embarrassment. You know, and we're going to stick with that. A couple of years ago, the village of Stony Brook, which is right next to the university, suffered a major loss after a huge storm that destroyed a dam, and the local pond, local mill pond, kind of dried up. And ever since then, there has been this back and forth fight between the Ward Melville Heritage Organization and Brookhaven Town and New York State, even the feds, about how or whether to fix this. And the whole community is up in arms. You'll see signs everywhere that say, fix the dam, and all kinds of other more expressive statements. That Stony Brook Dam and road that collapsed nearly 2 years ago will be rebuilt and restored to look as they did before, after officials said they resolved an ownership dispute and forged a plan to share responsibility for reconstruction. Officials in Brookhaven Town, the village of Head of the Harbor, and the dam's owner, Stony Brook nonprofit Ward Melville Heritage Organization, said in recent interviews they are jointly preparing engineering plans and seeking funding for the project, which is expected to cost between $8 million and $12 million. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so after you finish donating to WUSB, if you have anything left over, I guess donate it to that.
Yeah, that's a lot of donations. I mean, how many ice cream cones would that be?
A lot. An awful lot.
But assuming they fix it, people will be able to get back to where they live, and people will be able to enjoy the scenic aspects of the sidewalk.
Yeah, there's this little community called Head of the Harbor, which is on the other side of the pond. And there's a road that connects Stony Brook Village to Head of the Harbor, and that road washed out. You can't cross that road. You have to go all the way around to the back entrance to get in. And
yeah.
That's not good.
Other than the habitat being kind of turned upside down, it's truly been difficult for local access, and it is a hazard as it is now. You can see there's barricades and a steep drop off into the sand and what's there as far as running water.
Now, reconstruction efforts were slowed for months early last year by a dispute over ownership of Harbor Road. Who owned the road? Nobody seemed to know. With the people at Ward Melville Heritage Organization saying the road and dam belonged to Brookhaven or Suffolk County, the town and county produced records showing the nonprofit had previously claimed the property as its own. Head of the Harbor then sued Ward Melville Heritage Organization to force the nonprofit to launch reconstruction. A state judge dismissed the village's lawsuit in April. Again, Brookhaven Supervisor Dan Panico said the town plans to acquire an easement within the park that would allow town workers to rebuild the dam and Harbor Road. Almost all funding for reconstruction is expected to come from state and federal sources, said Panico. Now, here's where it gets weird. You know, our representative, Nick LaLota, the guy who doesn't live in the district, is a well-known liar and basically a successor to I forgot his name. The guy who runs the EPA.
Lee Zeldin.
Lee Zeldin, thank you. It's the heat. Yeah, Lee Zeldin was our representative. Didn't believe in town halls. Didn't believe in accountability. Believes in destroying the environment, as he's proving by heading the Environmental Protection Agency and gutting everything. Left us with Nick LaLota, who for some reason keeps getting reelected and has not held a single town hall meeting. In this particular case, what Nick LaLota did, you familiar with what check washing is? Check washing is when somebody steals your check, erases the name of the person you wrote the check to, puts their name in, and cashes the check. I thought this was something they conquered in the 1950s, but apparently it's still pretty easy to do. This, what Nick LaLota did, is another form of check washing. It's what I call reverse check washing, because what he did was he put his name on a giant check for $2.5 million to make it seem like he was paying for it, when in actuality, he is the local member of Congress that simply had the job to ask the feds to pay their share as they are supposed to do. But he has been going nuts saying, I did this. I paid for this. My money. Literally, there's pictures of this. Gigantic check, and his name is in gigantic letters. $2.5 million in federal funds. Well, that's great. That's great. But you didn't pay for this. And I don't know if it's check fraud when you put your name as the payer. Yeah, the person writing the check, even though it's a fake check. You know, there's a lot of fakery here. But $2.5 million, okay, you know, the state is paying $6.5 million. And in this article that Newsday wrote, they don't talk about who's responsible for that at all. No. So, I don't see this guy Panico bending over backwards thanking Nick LaLota, probably because it's well known that he's not telling the truth. But there is another article that I was able to find from the Times Beacon Herald newspaper that comes out once a week. Long-awaited repairs to Harbor Road and the Stony Brook Mill Pond are on the way, thanks to federal and state financial support. New York State will contribute $6.5 million, and the federal government will provide $5 million. Okay, that's a different number. That includes funds for property damage in August of 2024. Town of Brookhaven Councilmember Jonathan Kornreich of Stony Brook welcomed the funding and reflected the sentiment of many officials and residents who have been eagerly waiting for this overdue rebuild. After a long and frustrating process, we are finally seeing real momentum, real coordination, and real investment in rebuilding a place that means so much to our community, he said. The state backing includes $2.75 million that Governor Kathy Hochul had already committed through discretionary funding. Assemblywoman Rebecca Cassie of Port Jefferson advocated for the state funds to meet this ongoing need. The project was her biggest budget request for the district this year. A name that was not even mentioned in Newsday, but this person brought in more money than anyone else, certainly more than Nick LaLota was ever responsible for. Kornreich went on to say, I want to thank Assemblywoman Cassay for tirelessly advocating for our community and helping secure an additional $3.75 million in state funding for the Harbor Road and Mill Pond Restoration Project. This is a very substantial commitment of state resources, especially for a project that involves complicated engineering, permitting, and coordination among multiple levels of government. Cassay had been sharing her concerns with leadership about the dam and the impact on the road since she was elected to serve in the assembly last January. Brookhaven Town Supervisor Daniel Panico, being mentioned for the third time tonight, expressed his appreciation for Cassay's effort and commitment. Yeah, he's a Republican that can thank a Democrat. Imagine that. We are grateful to the Assemblywoman and the state of New York for this much-needed commitment of funds on behalf of residents of the town of Brookhaven, namely those in Stony Brook. You know, when you see somebody being able to reach across the aisle like that and just say something nice, that means a lot. And the other thing that he did was not say a word about Nick LaLota. So I think we might have an honest guy there in office, in that particular position. So, I've run out of things to say. I've got
yeah,
heat stroke.
Me too.
Okay, you want to just sit here in silence?
No, it's terrible. I'm sorry. I didn't prepare anything.
Well, I didn't prepare anything. Well, I did prepare these things, but I didn't prepare for the heat.
Well, I want everyone to know, public service announcement, that the heat is actually going down, and it will precipitously decline as sunset takes hold in the next couple hours. So you have that to look forward to. It's not going to be quite as sweltering. I will say, though, next week starting... No, this weekend, I believe, after Wednesday...
That's tomorrow.
Yeah, it gets really hot.
Yeah, so we're not out of the woods. We're just going into the woods.
Enjoy this is all I guess.
Enjoy this. 90 degrees. I'm not enjoying this.
No. When it gets a little lower... I'm sorry. When it gets a little cooler this evening, you have that in while you're waiting for all the heat to come. I'm sorry. What else were you
thinking
about?
Well, I got through these stories
about?
Much faster because I thought we'd have more conversation. I just wailed through the stories, so I don't have much left.
No, you cannot count on me.
I realize that now,
just
but I didn't realize that before.
I've never heard you say on-air talent. I can't believe you used that word earlier.
When did I use that word?
Yeah, when you were making all these demands. Yeah, you don't want to talk about it, but in the meeting...
Oh.
Yeah, the production meeting.
Again, it's the heat. I don't know.
Yeah, you wagged your finger, too, and you said, if I don't bring in more stories, and you know what? I got nothing.
All right, well, that's fine. So we go on the stream of consciousness, then, basically...
Slam news.
Yeah, I got a tick bite this week.
Oh, yeah, the bugs.
Did you get one?
I found one. Okay. I found it by taking a pair of pants that I had worn in like the gardening area of a property.
Uh-huh.
And they were hanging up. Like I put them on a hook on the wall. I went to grab those pants to like wash them or like kind of reuse them or whatever. And I felt it on my hand. It had crawled up the pant leg and was hanging out at the top of the pants,
as they do. You caught a tick while it was still moving.
Yeah, it was like wandering around as soon as it like hopped onto my hand. It was
fast.
Well, it was transferred very quickly when I grabbed that part of the pants off the hook. And I was like immediately like taking care of that.
So you're lucky. You didn't get bitten at all.
No, it wasn't like a bite. It wasn't
on
me. For how active I've been, I'm surprised, but I guess there's different phases, different species. You have to be alert. And I guess I found the spray, I guess this like kind of chemical free. It's got like essential oils. It's really strong smell, but I found this spray.
It's a safe spray that
we'd used. Yeah. And I sprayed it on shoes and
you can
stuff.
Give the name. I mean,
like a couple shoes. I don't know what it was.
What people should look for.
It just says tick death. No, I'm just kidding. Tick massacre.
But no chemicals. No.
Yeah, super friendly tick.
It just lulls them to sleep.
Tick poison.
I tried to save a spider in the shower before.
But yeah, I did.
Do you ever have this happen where you turn on the shower and you see there's a spider crawling on the floor, and you're rooting for them. You want them to make it to the other side, but they never do, and they drown so fast too. As soon as they hit water, boom, they're gone, or they're playing dead. I don't know. But you know, I try to sort of, you know, kick him, just move him aside, but it's for naught. It really is, and it's very frustrating. Bad way to start the day.
Murder.
No,
I
didn't
arachnid.
Put him there. He put himself there.
Your arachnid.
The shower is for human beings.
You just blithely kicking their.
Not for spiders. And I've had spiders crawling across the ceiling. Like you look up, and there's a spider like walking on a web above your head. And you're like, I hope that's a good web. And you're not going to fall on my head because I don't want that either. And, you know, spiders, I like spiders because they take care of other bugs. And that's important. I don't know if they take care of ticks. They should. Wild turkeys take care of ticks. If you have a wild turkey in your neighborhood, make sure you do everything possible to keep them around because they eat a lot of ticks every day. But I had a tick on my foot. And, I thought it was just like a bruise, like a cut. But no, it was a tick. It was a little tiny tick.
You had me look. I was going to use regular tweezers, and then I realized you got to use the really pointy ones. Mm-hmm. So I went and grabbed those and then got some like antibacterial or whatever, some kind of spray to use, and then a cotton swab. But
and now it's very itchy. So I got, I got bitten.
Once you got a little bit of that, it's an incredibly irritating itch, and it's you got to do everything you can to not really touch it, because that breaks the skin and it causes a whole cascade of wound healing issues. So best to just keep it clean, keep your hands off it. And
I've got a choice of diseases now. I get Rocky Mountain spotted fever. I can get Lyme disease. I can get alpha-gal syndrome again, which I had once. But
stop bragging.
Well, I'm just saying, like, I had the alpha-gal, like, and that's the interesting one, because that's the one where you can't eat red meat. Weird disease. And I enjoyed it because for almost a year, I didn't have red meat. And then I realized I can have red meat again. So that was a nice little interlude from being a meat eater. Who knows, a disease would do that to you. But you have to be careful. And I've been lucky so far. I've gotten bitten a lot of times over the years. But that's the only time I actually got something from it. So if you catch them fast, I think you'll be okay.
Yeah, just tuck in your pants, catch them very, very quickly. Take care of your laundry and bathing. You know, remember all of the, you know, stay on top of that stuff. Don't wait too long, because that time you have to remove it and then, you know, eliminate it, those intervening hours and days, if you don't do that, could, you know, potentially open you up to risks.
Absolutely.
But tucking in your pants.
Spray your shoes when you walk around. Make sure your pants are tucked into your socks. Make sure your shirt is tucked into your pants. Wear a beekeeper hat so that
you don't have to do that unless you have a lot of mosquitoes. I like the socks kind of tucking in, because it reminds me, I don't know if anyone else feels this way, but it makes me think of like colonial era garb, you know, where you had the shorter pants or like long stockings, right, and the wigs, and you know, it's kind of funny, but it could really save you a lot.
You wear shorts and you won't have the socks that go all the way up your leg, and that looks really cool.
Yeah, really extra long tick socks. Yeah, that's me.
But people,
I'm not that fashionable.
People who wear shorts, though, I worry about them, because you know, well, I guess you'd find the ticks pretty quickly, because they'd be right there.
Well, the more barriers, the less likely you're actually to get a bite and have that itchiness. Mm-hmm. So I think that's all really wise to do. It's definitely that season. So be on the lookout and protect yourself. Also wear some sunscreen, because you want to protect your skin in other ways from various light waves.
Yeah, you know, just protect yourself. There's no reason to stay indoors. But there's also no reason to expose yourself to too much outdoors.
Well, especially when some of these parks and ponds get fixed. And of course, if you're driving or on the roads, be mindful of all the different ways people are out and about, walking their animals or out with friends walking.
I'm told to caution people to look out for box turtles crossing the roads now. It's that time of year, apparently. So just be careful driving. People drive like maniacs. Just, you know, there's wildlife. I mean, you almost got overturned by a squirrel earlier. You know, ran out to the car and turned around, and we had to swerve. And
it did like a pivot.
Yeah.
Like it was in the NBA. Oh, now I'm thinking about basketball again.
What a joke that refereeing was yesterday. I mean, I'm still, you know, my voice is still hoarse from yelling.
I can't believe every single time, like, okay, a lot of 3-point shots. Correct. You know, that
and
was
4 points. 4 points, because you get a 3-point, and then you get fouled, and then you get to shoot again.
It's this like succession of successive fouls and then free throws and so whatever the heck. I don't know.
Do you know what I learned yesterday? All my life, I assumed a quarter in basketball was 15 minutes. I thought.
Did you ever get to the bottom of that?
Well, yeah, I did. 15 minutes makes sense because it's a quarter of an hour.
Right.
And, you know, a hockey game, that's 3 20-minute periods, 20-20-20, that's 60 minutes. Football, each quarter is 15 minutes. Why the hell wouldn't basketball be 15 minutes? But it turns out basketball is 12 minutes. I didn't know this. And that's a fifth of an hour. So they should call them fifths, really. And then maybe play another one. Or I don't know. But it's just, it seems wrong. And I'll tell you something else that seems wrong. If the Knicks challenged some bad calls, and in one particular case, they were right. You know, they said, okay, upon further review, that was not the correct call, and the scoring is reversed. Do you know when that happens, you lose the right to have another appeal? Like, if you appeal something and you're proven to be wrong, I could see losing the ability to make another appeal after that. But if you're right, you still lose the ability to make another appeal. That doesn't seem fair at all. You know, what if the refereeing is really terrible and you're catching it and you know, you're catching it every time? You don't get to do that. Doesn't that seem unfair?
Yes.
All right, well, I'm glad you agree.
So, I wasn't totally ready to do the brewery report. Well, this is a lot of people don't know this, but
the what now?
Breweries are a dying industry. Basically, no one drinks alcohol anymore.
Well, you know,
they're out basically with their steins out, begging for customers. And we have prepared some special announcements, but we're told that is actually under review.
Okay, all right.
And not appropriate, I guess. For we'll see what the final report about that, what it is. But basically, we had been interested in reviewing a lot of the developments and showcasing various establishments. And the process of that story, we got to thinking about the story. I don't know if you heard this. Craft distilling is now legal in New York. Is that true? Did you see that story?
Wait, I didn't know it wasn't legal.
I thought I heard this somewhere.
Why would it not be legal?
Is that
I don't even know what it... Okay, explain what it is
to me. I thought I heard that you can actually make spirits, you know, like from home.
I didn't know you couldn't do that. It's just a lot of work, but and who's going to stop
you? Did you hear this other crazy thing from, I believe, the governor that... They're allowing dancing now if you have an establishment.
Oh, I see where you're going. These are laws that everybody lost track of that never got updated. That's from like 1842 or something.
And can you think of the revelry and, dare I say, the fun that they are trying to unleash on New Yorkers?
Well, I'm sure Republicans will be against it.
I bet you. No. I dare you
mm-hmm.
to tax my fun.
Well, I think they do a lot of that already, but I mean, so what? They're updating some of these?
So anyway, when you have further developments on the spirit section of the program, we'll update people. But
well, that's very, very obscure there. I don't really know what that means, but I understand you can now have a horse in the house on a Sunday.
You can tell that department is practically reliable, but you know, that's about it.
Maybe you sit by the window, get some air.
Yeah, it's really stuffy around here, especially with rules. You go to these meetings, you know, they say free form. And boy, just everything you mentioned just gets torn apart.
They
just want to push you around. And it's not like it was. It's not like it was back when you could say a thing.
That's true. So, World Cup.
Yeah, do you have the update there on the FIFA FOMO? And no one can go.
Well, yeah, they really priced it out of. The same thing with the Knicks. They basically, I was looking at statistics from 1999, the last time the Knicks were in the finals, and the ticket prices were so much lower. I mean, it doesn't match inflation at all. You know, you could see, I think the last time the Knicks won the championship, whenever that was, like 50 years ago, you could get onto into the arena for about $10. And now it's like the cheapest seat, you know, and lousy seats too, is $10,000. Inflation has not gone up that much. Something else is at play here. And I think it's greed. I think it's privilege. I think it's really, really ugly because the people who support the teams are being shut out, and I don't think they like that very much. Now, mind you, I made this comment yesterday. Seeing the game from the comfort of your home on a TV set where you don't miss a play, that's much, much better. You know, you're not getting ripped off with a $40 hot dog or something. You get to see what's going on. When you're sitting in the stands, I don't know about you, but sometimes I don't know where the ball is. It's hard to see every little bit, especially if you're not right there sitting next to Spike Lee. So, it's fun to be there with all the screaming people, but it's not worth what they're demanding for entry. It's just, it's terrible.
I think having your own, like, watch parties is way more fun.
Absolutely.
You're supporting, like, think about it. If you're hosting or you're visiting someplace, you're connecting with people that are already in your life. You're doing it in an affordable way. You know, you can enjoy the weather, or if you have a yard, or, you know, whatever you plan with people, maybe go to a park, whatever. You can have that fun. You're supporting local businesses instead of, like, some concession conglomerate or something someplace, and one of these big organizing places. And just, you know, you call it World Kickball Tournament or whatever.
And you have to be careful what you say.
And, you know, but people are playful like that, especially in the city or wherever. You know, people know how to work these things. I'm sure someone somewhere has access to a drive-in screen. You know, they'll do fun stuff around it, and you're actually supporting and enjoying it. Even if it's a private thing, you're just, you know, watching yourself or with your close friends. You're able to just be comfortable and enjoy the picture, enjoy the response. Everybody's, you know, online commenting anyway in a virtual sense. So, that versus what, you know, has been characterized just doesn't sound fun. You know, being in a crowd, in a, the energy's unmatched.
Especially if you're getting ripped off. Yeah, you don't feel good about that.
At that cost, with the hassle of it all, you got to be really, really diehard to put me through that. Like,
I would love to see a World Cup game, only because I've never seen one before. And I feel that, you know, there's so many of them that it should be doable. And there's certainly some that won't be that closely followed. Like Qatar versus Switzerland, you know, I'll go to that game, but, you know, I'm not going to pay $1,000 for a seat. I'm not going to pay more than $100 for a seat. It's not worth it. Sorry. And if you're going to be so corrupt as to insist that local governments and towns pay for all the security and all the transportation, so making it so it costs over $100 just to get to the stadium, no, that's not worth it either. That's not worth it. So, yeah, it all starts Thursday. First game is taking place in Mexico. South Africa is playing the Mexican national team. Later that day, South Korea will be facing off against Czechia. And then on Friday, we have Canada playing Bosnia and Herzegovina. Now, that's not fair. They're playing two teams. And later in the day, actually, that is at 3 o'clock. At 9 o'clock p.m., the United States is playing Paraguay. So that'll be fun. And then on Saturday, we have, I think, three games total. The aforementioned Qatar versus Switzerland, Brazil versus Morocco, and Haiti versus Scotland. What I like about the games being played in North America is that you have games that start at midnight sometimes. If it's on the West Coast, that's a 9 p.m. start. So here, it's midnight, and, you know, it's not an overnight thing, at least, where it's from overseas somewhere. So it'll be fun. It'll be fun to see how things progress. But I don't expect it to do much for the image of FIFA in this country. And I don't know. I think there'll be some serious conversations about necessary ways of, reorganizing. Because what they're doing now is just so disrespectful to the fans. And so corrupt. And that's, you know, it makes perfect sense that FIFA is in good with Trump right now, because, yeah, that's the game he plays, unfortunately. We'll get through it.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to seeing how, like, just, you know, Iran and Venezuela do. And you know, just it's going to be really exciting.
Well, Iran is already facing all kinds of challenges that are unfair they're not allowed to stay in the United States, yet they have to play in the United States, which means they have to take a plane before their game every time. That's nuts. That's just not right.
Yeah, like apparently like team, you know, teams are having trouble, or team entourage and so forth are, you know, being met with a lot of the strict border policies, and, you know, having to navigate that as an being treated as an adversary is really not the sportsmanlike thing. No. I'm sure they're working through it, and it's probably not.
We're going to have to keep an eye.
It's not something you can really, you know, pretend isn't going on if it is.
They have promised to have ICE in the stadiums intimidating people. It's all disgusting. It's absolutely disgusting, and we as the people need to make sure that our guests are treated with respect.
It's a stink of discrimination we need to actively prevent being the impression people take away from visiting our country.
Our time is up. We've run out of time somehow. It's incredible. Write to us, otw@2600.com.
Thanks for bearing with us in the heat. We'll go ahead and cool down and fix that for the future.
And stay cool. otw@2600.com. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
I'll be gone for the night, searching for this fear.